It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And so get your Bible and turn to John chapter 11. We are going to quickly complete the study that we've been on of the time that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And the last verses of this account that we're going to be studying here in John chapter 11, verses 42 through 44, is where we read, "I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the multitude that standeth around, I said it, that they may believe thou didst send me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, "Loose him, and let him go." Let me read to you from Elam's notes for the Sunday school lesson he wrote for the Sunday schools of December 14, 1924. It says, "He that was dead came forth. The decomposition of the body was stayed. The soundness and health were restored. The blood flowed again in the veins. And the spirit came back from the abode of spirits and dwelt again in the tabernacle of clay, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Lazarus arose, and it was custom to bind the spices and the winding sheets around the body with bands, and to bind the face with a napkin to prevent the lower jaw from falling. For Martha's remark in verse 39, it is probable the spices were omitted. These grave clothes would hinder Lazarus in walking. Hence Jesus said, loose him and let him go. He who raised Lazarus shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. "And all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment." John 5, 28 and 29. At the end of this Sunday school lesson, there's this little poem. Jesus wept. Those tears are over, but his heart is still the same. Kinsman, friend, and elder brother is his everlasting name. Jesus wept, and still in glory, he can mark each mourner's tear, living to retrace the story of the hearts he solaced here. Jesus wept. That tear of sorrow is a legacy of love. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, he the same shall ever prove. Now I turn the little page in my Sunday school book, and I see that for the Sunday schools of December the 21st, 1924, we're going to study the conversion of Zacchaeus. Before we get into that study, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, in looking at the story of the conversion of Zacchaeus, our lesson text is Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. I'll read that to you now. "And he entered and was passing through Jericho, and behold, a man called by name Zacchaeus, and he was chief publican, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the crowd, because he was little of stature. And he ran on before and climbed into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw him, they all murmured, saying, He is going to lodge with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half my goods I give to the poor. And if I have wrongly exacted aught of any man, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, Today is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That last verse we read, Luke 19 and verse 10, is the golden text for this lesson. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. The devotional reading is the 24th Psalm. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of Jehovah? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto falsehood, and hath not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from Jehovah, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek after him, that seek thy face, even Jacob. Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is the King of glory? Jehovah, strong and mighty, Jehovah mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, yea, lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? Jehovah of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Now let's turn to Elam's notes and read the hints and helps for the teacher. At the time of this lesson, Jesus and his disciples were journeying toward Jerusalem. It was Jesus' death march. Jesus was in the lead, and the disciples were amazed and afraid as they followed behind. They knew the Jews had determined to kill Jesus, and that twice he had retired from Jerusalem to escape death at their hands, but now he seemed determined to return. He took again the 12, and showed them once more that he must suffer at Jerusalem, with clear prophetic vision describing the very details of his trial and the manner of his death, and they understood none of these things. We read in Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 34, And he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all the things that are written through the prophets shall be accomplished unto the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered up unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and shamefully entreated, and spat upon, and they shall scourge and kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, and they perceived not the things which were said. Passing through Jericho, he opened the eyes of a blind man. Luke chapter 18 and verse 35, And it came to pass, as he drew nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing a multitude going by, he inquired what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. That brings us up to our text in Luke chapter 19. But there's one more note here to the teacher. It says, no better comment on their misunderstanding of these things can be found than the request made in this journey shortly after this by James and John through their mother, that one might sit on his right hand and the other on his left in his kingdom. They dreamed of earthly thrones and crowns, and could not think of their leader suffering on the cross. Jesus was patient and forbearing, and again explained the principles of true greatness. Now let's look at the explanatory notes, and we'll begin with the publicans. Jesus entered and was passing through Jericho on his journey to Jerusalem. As we have learned already, the original publicans were rich Roman knights who brought up the taxes of a certain province by paying so much money cash into the Roman treasury. On a joint stock company was formed when these taxes surpassed the ability of one man, and the profits were divided among the stockholders. These men themselves did not collect the taxes, but divided up the provinces into districts and sublet these districts to others, usually to inhabitants of the country who knew the resources of the people and how much tax they could pay. These sub-agents were the publicans of the New Testament. The Jews considered their subjugation to the Romans as degradation, and paying tribute to them as dishonoring God. Hence the question in Matthew 22 and verse 17 that was asked of Christ, Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Therefore, publicans among the Jews were not only odious as tax gatherers, but were considered also as traitors to their nation and as apostates from the religion of their God. They were classed with sinners and harlots and heathens. Almost everything was taxed, and being allowed to fix more or less arbitrarily the value of exports and imports and demand payment, the publicans had every opportunity to extort from the people more than was due to the practice fund and practice fraud. Hence, John the Baptist extorted this class, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And Zacchaeus said, If I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold. Publicans were not necessarily dishonest. John and Jesus found many ready to obey the truth. And from this class, Jesus chose an apostle. We must remember that Matthew had been a publican, a tax collector. Now we meet up with Zacchaeus. We know from this passage in Luke chapter 19 in verse 9 that he was the son of Abraham, and he was a chief publican, and he was rich. His name means pure. He had had good opportunities for accumulating wealth, but as he states, he did not do so by false accusation or dishonest means. He probably had supervision over other publicans in his district. The trade of the countries east of the Jordan passed through Jordan to Jerusalem, and their custom was paid. Let us contrast Zacchaeus with the rich young ruler. We read in verse 3 that this publican, Zacchaeus, sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the crowd, for he was a man of little stature. He had heard before of Jesus and doubtless of his treatment of publicans. His was not an idle curiosity. He was curious to see Jesus who he was. Which one of that great crowd was he, to see his bearing, to look into his face, and to hear him, that he might judge for himself whether or not he was a prophet of God? We'll continue this in our next class.